probably a virus or a bacteria.
Okay. Oh, that went off? Probably just timed out on standby. I think it'll only go so far till it times out. Yeah, I had to hit the power on off, but it's back on. Yeah, he had went powered off. Just a power save mode. Should be good to go now. Just hit the button. And I already got the recorder going. It won't matter. Yeah. Herding turtles.
Okay, Ryan.
Oh, thank you.
Mom, let's go sit you down.
Hey, we need him around more often.
Remember when Mike's speaking that you just go ahead and keep on talking? It's his turn.
Okay, it's getting a little late, so we need to get our next speaker up here. I think most of you know Ronnie. He's been a regular now for
Ask Kathleen years? Right back there on the couch. Or Kelly, right here.
And, really appreciate that. That was one of the best things that happened in my life, but the year that they showed up at the conference. And,
us too.
Ronnie's just been one of the best friends I've ever had in my life. And he's got a great personality, easy going. Yeah, I love his him and his father's Southern Grove. And anyway, he's a great guy. One thing you're going to probably hear me say several times this weekend is that all our speakers, you know, we get together, we have a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. But when we get down to the nitty-gritty of studying the scriptures, every one of them has a real, true, sincere heart for the Word. And I can tell you, these guys can make me melt sometimes when it comes to when we get into the scriptures.
Amen.
And bring everything down to where it needs to be here. And anyway, I'm going to bring Ronnie on now.
Thank you, Barney. Thank you, everybody. And it is a real pleasure to be here. Welcome to everybody. If you don't know me, my name is Ronnie McCurry. I'm from West Union, South Carolina. It's about the size of Atlanta. So if you ever get through there, no. No, it's a little bit smaller than Atlanta. Just a little bit. Maybe 300-400 people. But you'll get to see it in October, hopefully, if you make it to our conference. So it is good to see everybody. I welcome everybody here. It's awesome. It's like coming home. It always is every time I come here. And I told them that coming in that it's just like coming home to my family. And it is my extended family. And it is the family that you're going to be spending a very great deal of time with in the future. So you better get used to a lot of the people around here. Even if it's like Mikey back there in the cheap seats. Love you, buddy. So God bless y'all. It's great to have you here.
Hey, would you mention your pal talk, the nights you have pal talk
also? Oh, yeah, I will. I'm getting to that. I actually have it in my lineup here. Let's open with a word of prayer first. Gracious Father, we're thankful to be here, God, and we thank you for each and every one that's made their way here in your traveling grace. Father, we thank you for all things that you give us in Christ. We thank you most of all tonight for him and for his blood. And Father, for that that we have through that blood that we could never do of ourselves. Father, we thank you for grace and grace more abundantly. Father, that places us in the heavenly places tonight. We thank you for that. For all those that have come this way, Father, we pray that you would use these clay lips. And Father, give them the words that you would have them have from the heart. And Father, that they would take that Berean spirit and search the scripture, Father, to see if these things be so. Father, thank you for the friends that we have here, for all these that have come so far, and bless us in the further part of the study now as we give you the honor and the glory for it all in Christ's name. Amen. And thank you for that. It is getting late, and I'll get right into it. And you think it's late here. If we were in Carolina, it would be 10 minutes to midnight. So I'm feeling pretty good for it to be so late. I can't believe I'm even still awake. But so far, so good. Are you awake, Hattie? Are you awake? Okay, good. Again, thanks to all the folks in Arizona for the hospitality, the food, and most of all, the love and the fellowship. Because I have seen these people literally tear their home apart so that we could be here tonight and have this conference. So I think the first thing we need to do is give them all Barney and Kelly and Kathleen and Forrest and this whole crowd is always, it just proves what we have in this body of Christ. And it's so evident and so plain to me. And it's such a blessing to me in my heart. And I thank all of you from the bottom of my heart. I don't know how else to tell you other than I love you. Upcoming conferences. The TFT conference will be in June, Bob?
Yeah, full weekend in June.
First weekend in June, correct? First full weekend. Now, somebody's going to have to get me a rope. Because Bob was great. You notice when Bob speaks, Bob is quintessential, stand in one place and just lay it on you. And he does a very good job of that. And I really need to learn how to do that. Because I'm kind of a free ranger. I like to kind of dance around, move around a little bit. So for the sake of the pal talkers, but maybe they even thinking, well, I wish that guy kind of move off camera so I don't have to look at him. But I will try, I promise, I will try to stay right here in camera. Whether that be a good thing or a bad thing. But anyway, TFT conference.
June.
First full weekend in June.
5th, 6th, and 7th.
So remember that. Plan for it's in Peru, Indiana. TFT can give you all the information you need. You can either call them or check out the website. Check out the TFT. They've got all the schedule on there. And then our upcoming conference, the Carabel this year, which is a combination of the Carolina Conference and the Boscalina, or Boscobel. It's Carolina and Boscobel, so it's Carabel this year. When we're up there, it's Boscalina for Boscobel, Carolina. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Whoa, okay, good. I think I got it right. So remember those. Ours is upcoming in October. We're looking at the second weekend. We have to sort of plan around the local college that drives all the motel rates up when they have home football games. Because we have a local football college very close by, so we have to kind of watch that. So keep watching the TFT. Check our website. We'll keep that posted there to keep everybody up to date on that. Also, everybody's welcome to join us on Pal Talk. There are four opportunities a week. On the Mysterion Truth Bible Study page that Barney does is on Tuesday nights, usually around 8:15. After that, on Wednesday night, usually around the same 8:15, my dad does a study from our home.
8:15 what time?
Eastern time. I'm sorry. Good point, Travis. Being that we're scattered all over the country, we do need to make that plain. Barney's is at 8:15 Eastern. And whatever that translates, I guess 5:15 Pacific. And same thing with our study with Dad. Dad's been, sometimes it's just Dad, Lori, me, and my mom. But we do it every Wednesday night, and we try to make the time for it and try to make it that important to where even if it's just the four of us, we're there. That is the Carolina Bible Group or Carolina Bible Group Study Room, I think is the name of the room on there. So yeah, if you want to write that down. Then again, on Sunday morning, we have another study, usually starting around 11 a.m. Eastern on Pal Talk. And it's called, it's in that same Carolina Bible Group study room. And I'll be doing the teaching there. And it's right now we're in the book of Hebrews. We just have got out of Hebrews 11. We're moving into Hebrews 12. And just getting tons of blessings out of it. I can't believe that having gone through these Old Testament, or some of these kingdom truth books in the New Testament so often, that you can go through them again and get so much blessing out of them. Not that it's our hope, but by comparison to what we see with what we have, it just opens up everything a lot of times, and we're really thankful for that. So you're welcome to join us for that. And then at Sunday afternoons or Sunday evenings, 6 o'clock Eastern time, Artis has his study that he does. Faithful to His Word is the name of his Pal Talk room. So 4 opportunities a week to join in there. And I've already met some that Tony and Dorothea that I've seen on there, and we had the same story. Felt like I knew them. Amen. Walked in the room, picked them up. Felt like I knew them. Already love them. Amen. And I just met them. But I've known them in Christ from before the foundation of the world, and thank God for that. So Pal Talk has really made a difference in our lives and in our studies, and I really urge all of you, if you can, to jump in there and check it out. And my thanks again to Barney for getting it started. The Lord is working a work in this guy. Amen. And I do believe that. I believe it, amen. We will also be recording these. As Barney said, he'll have recordings available almost immediately after we do them. I will have audios that'll be posted on the Carolina Bible Group website. If you want to go there, you can either download them and save them, or you can just stream them and listen to them. It'll work either way. And my thanks to my buddy Chip Winchester at home, as part of our group, that posts those on there for me. I don't know what I'd do without him. He keeps that going. You can go to that site and download any of the, we've even got a lot of the old videos from way back, and I have a ton that I haven't put on there yet. So pray for me that we'll keep that going and keep that ministry going, too, where you can go back and pull some of these old studies.
Chip's on right now. Everybody say hi to Chip.
Hi, Chip.
Thank you, Chip.
I'm sure that blessed his heart. Okay. Again, the name of that site is www. If you want to write it down, I'll say it slowly. www.carolinabiblegroup.org. O-R-G. So you can go there, download videos, audios, whatever you need. We got several parts of that. We've even got a place in there for pictures. We'll put pictures of past conferences on there, and there's lots of stuff for you to look at, so check it out. Okay. Without further ado, let's get into the important stuff. Not that all that's not important, but this right here. This is what it's all about, and that's what I want to start with, your purpose. What is your purpose for being here tonight? I want each of you to take just a minute and think about that in your own mind. What is your purpose? God's got a purpose. We know that. I don't think there's a soul in this room that doesn't know that God has a purpose. Well, what is your purpose for being here tonight? Think about that. One of the greatest discoveries that I have made in my short life is that God works according to purpose. You've heard my dad say this. I think his study last Wednesday night was along these same lines. I do not believe that we are cruising along in happenstance and coincidence. I believe that God has a plan and a purpose, and that we all fit in it one way or the other. Everybody hear me on that? So when you sit here tonight and you think about what your purpose is, remember that I believe, for whatever that does for you, Remember that I believe that you're not here by accident.
Amen.
That every one of you that are here, you have a responsibility tonight to think about what we're saying. And to take that and to check it out. Your purpose for being here, you may not know yet. Your purpose for being here, I know I don't know yet. I'm not even sure I know my purpose for being here yet. But I hope my purpose for being here is to bless you and to give you something that you can take home with you. But I want you to think about the importance of you being here tonight and that it's not an accident. This may be the night that changes your life. You may hear something from one of these guys that will change your life. I've seen it happen. It happens every day. The Lord Jesus Christ changes lives.
Amen.
He changed mine. Turn with me to Ephesians 3. I'll make this pretty quick. I don't know how much time I got, Barn. Ephesians 3. Jim, I may not end in Ephesians, but we're going to start in Ephesians. God bless you. Ephesians 3, I'm going to read verses 8 through 11. In talking about this purpose and what your purpose is for being here, let's read what God said. Ephesians 3, 8 through 11. Paul says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus," or by Jesus Christ. Verse 10, "to the intent that now," here's his purpose, "to the intent now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold or the collective wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord." What? One of life's greatest facts is the fact that God has an eternal purpose and that we're not just floating through here, folks. That it has purpose, it has plan, it has design, and it has reason. That alone should propel a lot of people to get on their knees and say, "Thank you, God, that we're not just floating through the universe as a speck, basically, which is what we are. That this infinitesimal speck is not just careening through the universe with no rhyme or reason." It gives me great comfort tonight. It gives me great comfort to know that God has an eternal purpose that he purposed in his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That gives me great comfort. Among all the religions, what I got to say tonight is very simple. And it shouldn't take very long, so bear with me just a few minutes. But what I got to say, I really want you to think about it. I want you to dwell on it. Because I think it's important. I think this, what I got to say should range from everybody from Heidi to Jim McWilliams. I mean, from one end to the other. In age and in maturity in the Scripture, and what you know or don't know, the study tonight, maybe it'll help you a little. I hope it does. But here's what I got to say. Among all the religions, denominations, and organizations the world offers, there still remains one truth only. Right here. It doesn't matter how many you've been to, how many you've come out of. This is it. If you're looking for truth, God's holy word right here is the only truth. Turn with me to the book of John. Now, I'm going to be jumping around a little bit, but these points that I'm going to bring out, I want you to remember, and I want to try to nail them down for you and provide some scripture to go with them. John 17, what I like to term sort of as the high priestly prayer here between the Son and the Father. John 17. Let's start up at 15. Christ says, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, talking about his disciples. He says this, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Set them apart, Father, by your truth. This word is truth. So you see why I say, I don't care where you came from. I don't care what you believe, what you have believed, or what you think you believe. This is it right here. This word is truth. Now, I know that as a group, we share a lot of common beliefs. And I know that we are as knit together. I've never seen knit together in a crowd like we have knit together in this crowd, and I thank God for that. But in all that and all we do, always remember. And we like to have discussions between ourselves about things that we either agree on or don't agree on. Bob and I were talking about this outside. There are things Bob and I don't agree on. Doesn't mean I don't love Bob. One thing we do agree on, Bob, is that this book tells us to love each other, doesn't it?
Amen.
We love each other in Christ because we're all knit together, like he was talking about those bonds and ligaments. You know, a ligament holds the joint together so that the muscles can do what they do. And without that, we'd be a big blob of flesh laying on the floor. We couldn't get anything done. We'd look like me when I get home from work. Most days lately, that's pretty much how I am. I kind of blob down on the couch and that's it, as far as I get. I also believe that our greatest and most precious task in life is to understand what God is doing from and through His Word. No teacher, preacher, religion, or organization will ever replace diligent study of God's Word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And all God's people said amen. That's diligent study of God's Word by the believer. By the believer. Because can the unbeliever understand what's in this book?
No.
Save that which the Holy Spirit reveals unto him that you need to believe? It's all he can see. We got to be believers to get deep in this book. This book is not written for the unbelieving. This is his word. So it takes diligent study of God's Word by the believer to establish his own faith. I could stand up here tonight and rattle for hours about what my doctrine is. I got a lot of personal doctrine. Stephan and I were talking about here the other day, something about the nation of Israel. Boy, do I have a lot of opinions about the nation of Israel. And I sat there and I said, you know, Stephan, what you need to do is just get in a book and look at it. You need to study all these things about Israel, because at the end of the day, if I just sit here and tell you what you think and you take my faith, not that he would, because I know him better than that. But see, you see what my point is. I don't want him to do that. Now, I like to stand and teach, and I'll tell you what my doctrine is. And pretty much I'll qualify it with, hey, here's what I believe. And you can either search it like a Berean and see if you agree or you disagree. But the point is, when that time comes, like Bob was talking about a while ago, when he stands there before that judge on that day, it comes down to how have you handled this word.
Amen.
And that's what's important.
Amen.
So I make the statement that no teacher, preacher, religion, or organization will ever replace diligent study of God's word by the believer to establish his own faith. Now, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Flip over there just for a second. Romans 10, 17. I want to back these up with what I see in the Scripture. And I know some of you scholars are going to sit there and say, well, he's pulling some of this stuff out of the kingdom books, and he's pulling some of it out of the church books. But we're going to deal with that here in just a few minutes too. Romans 10, 17. We're talking about this faith. If the believer is going to establish his own faith, how's he going to do it? Look at what the book says. The book says, so then faith cometh how?
By hearing.
By hearing. And hearing how?
By the word.
By the word. Yeah, isn't it funny how it always gets right back to this word? Isn't that something? And isn't it funny or amazing how in the beginning the word was God and it was with God. And then that word became flesh. And he dwelt amongst us. Isn't that something? I mean, it should just roll you to your knees immediately that he would do that for us. Amen? Amen. Romans 10:17, I'm sorry. Turn with me again to Hebrews 11. I saw Bob over there a while ago. I said, man, he's going to get all my study if I don't hurry. And I really appreciate what you had to say, Bob. That was a blessing, as they always are. Hebrews 11:1. Now, with the believer trying to establish his own faith and knowing that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If I can go out here and dig it up out of the ground and touch it and handle it and look at it and study it, is it faith?
No.
It's not faith. That's something else. I could call it archaeology. But that's not faith. Faith is the substance. It's the touchable stuff of something that you hope for. You see it in your mind. You know it's there even though you've never laid your eyes on it.
Amen.
Substance and evidence. Substance of things hoped for. Evidence. Evidence is what stands up in court. Mm-hmm. The evidence of something I haven't seen. Only God can do that.
Amen.
I still say that only God can do that. And then Hebrews 11:6. Flip over one more page. Listen to this. You think you're going to please God without faith? I know this comes out of the book of Hebrews, but still true. But without faith, Paul says, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Where are you going to go looking for God if you take off to do it? You better be in this book.
Amen.
If you go down the street looking for him in the churches, you better just show up on Sundays. Because I think he's only there then. Or at least that's the feeling I get. And I say that jokingly, but what I want you to understand is that it's in here. It's in this book. And though I can teach this book and tell you things, nothing replaces you getting in this book. And I don't care if you sit there and say, well, I read it, I can't understand it. Well, we're going to help you with that too. Because what I want you to leave here today with is not Ronnie's doctrine. I want you to leave here with Ronnie's method. There's a difference. There's a difference in leaving with my doctrine, which will be my faith to you, or leaving with my method. You heard the adage where you give a guy a fish, he eats today. You teach him to fish, he eats the rest of his life. He catches his own fish. Time you leave here, I want everybody to listen to these guys, but I want you to be catching your own fish time you leave here. And my dad will just love you for that because he's a big fisherman. Our charge as teachers today is the same charge that the Apostle Paul gave young Timothy in his final epistle. That's our charge for today as teachers. And do you think that the speakers that are here tonight are the only teachers in the room? How many of you think that the speakers that are here are the only teachers we have with us? Boy, a smart crowd. You can't get nothing over on them. You're exactly right. Every one of you teach every day, if nothing else, by the life you walk around portraying. By the Christ that people see in you. That's what they see. And you teach whether you know it or not. Whether you stand up here and do what I'm doing, or nothing more than just be nice to your coworker at work. You know, they look at you and they say, man, that guy's got something. he's a little bit different. He's kind of weird. Didn't he go to some Bible conference this weekend? I bet that was a cult meeting or something. And you say that, but you run into that a lot of times. But they see something different in you, and that's what I want. I want somebody to see something different in you. I think that's what sets us apart. But our charge as teachers today is the same one that Paul gave Timothy. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. And I'm almost done, believe it or not. 2 Timothy 4, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, Timothy. Get up there and preach that word. Be instant in season when it's convenient, and out of season, even when it ain't so convenient.
Right.
Isn't that it?
Amen.
How many of you have ever had to preach a word when it wasn't convenient? I saw Barney here this afternoon. We were setting up the pal talk. Muslim guy jumped on here. Barney's got company all over the place. His bathroom is trashed. He's trying to fix the plumbing. Guy pops on here, wants to talk about some kind of Muslim thing going on. And the validity of some of the scripture in Jeremiah. And Barney sat here and did it. Now, was that convenient for him? Nope. Did he do it? Yep. And I happened to think about this verse when he did. And I said, there's an example of it. This is not convenient for him at all. But he's doing it anyway. You know, you run into people at work. Want to stop and talk about things. Well, I got to get back here and get this done. But then they stop and you're like, oh, this is one of those times. This ain't convenient at all. But I got to do it anyway. You see what I mean? When it's in season or out of season. Let's move on. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Listen to this. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. How you do that? Back to the word again. See, we move away, we come right back. We move away, we come right back. It always ends in the word. Okay? Got to make full proof of your ministry. What does that mean? What do you think that means? You ever hear these people? Well, I just think when I die and go to heaven that God's going to give me a skateboard. And I'm going to skateboard on the streets of gold. I actually had a guy tell me that I worked with one time. It was just whatever he could dream up, God owed that to him. I'm serious. I mean, it sounds funny. And I stood there with this face. And I shook my head. I said, okay. what do you do with that? I mean, but you see what's out there. You see what's out there. It's incredible. So, if he had to make full proof of that ministry, I'm not really sure how good a job he could do of it. You see, because unless he can show me chapter and verse where God's going to give him a skateboard, then I'm going to have a hard time believing it. But that's what he believed. Now, I did have some opportunities to talk to this young man further, but I don't know that it helped a whole lot. But our part is to put it out. You cannot believe for one single person other than yourself. Amen. It's the only person you can believe. Your job is not to believe for them. Your job, preach the word and make full proof of what you say, because that's what's important to God. That's what you'll be judged against. The skateboard thing, he'll have to be judged against. But you'll be judged against how you handle the word. Praise God. Now, this statement in Timothy here, preach the word, is tempered by two other what I call bedrock principles that should mold and shape our outlook on Scripture. And everybody in this room has heard these verses. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 3:16. Actually, it's on the same page. It's right above the Scripture I just read. Listen to this. All Scripture, all of it, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Everybody hear that? All Scripture is God-breathed, given by inspiration of God. All of it. Now, I know, and you know, that there are parts of it that are for our understanding, and that there are parts of it that apply to us directly. Let's get into the rest of the story here. Turn back one page, I believe it is, 2 Timothy 2:15. Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I know that's what it says in the English of your Bible. Let me fix that a little bit in the Greek for you from the translation. I know what the English translation we have is a pretty good translation, but there's still words that don't do the Greek justice a lot of times. So this is Ronnie's rendition in Greek of how this verse ought to read, for what it's worth. It should say, it says, be diligent to present thyself approved to God, a laborer without cause for shame, correctly cutting across the word of truth. You hear Bob talk just a few minutes ago about the Ten Commandments, how he always stops and makes sure that you know that they were given to the nation of Israel, that they're not for us. He gave you the demonstration of correctly cutting across the word. I mean, it's a great example. I'm glad he did it. He came back there and he said, you know, we talked a little bit about today about what we were going to talk about. And I said, oh man, if you do the faith, that'll segue right into what I got to say. And then he even gave nuggets in there I wouldn't even expect. You see how God works everything out when you just leave it in his hands. Praise the Lord for it. Rightly dividing the Scripture, this verse, this correctly cutting across the Scripture, remember this, is the key to understanding it. You remember just a few minutes ago I said, I don't want you to leave Ronnie's doctrine. I want you to leave with my method. That's what I'm talking about. Rightly dividing this book is the method. And without it, you're going to be confused. Because if I can flip this thing open, and I can tell you that you're not supposed to do this on the Sabbath or that on the Sabbath. I can tell you that you're supposed to go and kill calves and lambs and take their blood and do this and do that. I can. And I'd be perfectly within the realm of the Scripture, wouldn't I? But do you notice that a lot of people that claim these laws, they don't even do this stuff? I mean, they say, yeah, I believe it's all for me. But they don't even do these things. And they're plainly there. I mean, I can read them. And I'm from Carolina. I mean, if I can read them, go figure. Did you know these verses establish for us, I believe, the scriptural method that we as students and teachers, the scriptural method that we as students and teachers of the Word must use to understand His Word. Because without this method, I think you're going to be lost. I think you're going to be confused as I was for some time. Now, I've had it good in my life. Because I've been surrounded by people. God really took care of me. I've had a dad and a father-in-law and a good friend. Now, through all of these years that have just, I've been hedged about. I know I have. So, down through the years, I know that I've been hedged about and I've been shown the way, but a lot of people don't have that. A lot of folks don't have it. And it's up to us to get it to them. So I don't want you to leave here today with Ronnie's doctrine. We'll talk about that some other time. What I want you to leave here today is the method. Did you know that this method of right division, the Lord used it himself? A lot of you do. I'm not pulling anything over this crowd that they don't already know. But for the sake of folks online, and maybe even some of you here that have never thought it, did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ used right division? That there were changes to what some of his instructions were. Did you know that? Turn with me to Luke 9 for just a moment. Luke chapter 9. Anytime we talk about the Lord, we pretty much have to, and what he did on the earth with his disciples, we pretty much have to go back to one of the Gospels. So turn with me to Luke 9, verses 1 through 5. And some of you may have seen this. If you haven't, then I hope it means something to you. How am I doing on time, Tony? Okay. Should work out about right. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 says this. Then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, listen to this. He said unto them, take nothing for your journey. Now, if I'd have told Lori when we left the house, look, we're not taking anything. She looked at me and said, well, buddy, you can go by yourself. Because she likes to take these big suitcases, and bless her heart, most of it's mine. And incidentally, I don't give her enough credit, but if she didn't help me, I'd never be here. And I love her and I thank God for her. But she'd look at me like I was crazy. But look what he told them. He said, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread nor money, neither have two coats apiece. I'm starting to wonder what they had with them. I don't think they had anything. Because back then they traveled pretty light anyway. But look what he says. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. You see that? What you just read was Christ's instructions to who? To his disciples. He's sending the 12 out, give them the power, and he's sending them out. And he says, when you go, don't take anything. Don't take a thing with you. It's kind of weird, isn't it, Heidi? But the Lord knew what he was doing, didn't he? Now, look at this right division. Turn with me over to Luke 22. Same book, a little bit later in the story. Luke chapter 22, verse 35. A little bit later in the story. This is right after Peter denies the Lord three times. We're coming to the end of the earthly ministry of the Lord here. Okay? And Peter says, well, right after Peter denies him, it says in verse 35 of Luke chapter 22, and he said unto them, when I sent you without purse, he's calling on their remembrance now. He said, I want y'all to think about something. He said, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? You see that? Did you lack anything? What'd they say? Somebody tell me what they said. Hey, it must have worked, Lord. We didn't need anything. You were right. It worked. Listen to what he says next. Know nothing. They said, know nothing, Lord. Then he said unto them two very important words. But now. Do you see that?
That's right.
The dispensation has changed. The method of operation has changed. What their marching orders is about to change. Look at this. Then he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it. And likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and go buy one. Whoa. That sounds pretty much 180 from where we were a few chapters ago, doesn't it? Now, let me ask you a question. If these disciples this time had done what he said earlier, would they still be within his will?
No.
Exactly. My point made. If we hang on to the kingdom dispensation, are we in his will?
No.
We're no better than these disciples, I promise you that. At least in that regard. Now, I don't know if any of the disciples have been placed where I've been placed, far above all heavenlies. But as far as the principle and the lesson I'm making here, look, we're held to these same standards. We have to obey him as they did, because he is our head as he is their Lord as well. Let's read on. How far did I say I'd go? 38. He said, I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. Whoa. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, that's enough. It is enough. Didn't need the swords before. Didn't need anything. Now you better take your money. If you got a couple of coats, take them. Get those swords out. Did any of you ever know the Lord said, that's good? They had the swords?
Yeah.
Something else to think about. Turn with me over to Luke 4. And this is my final example here. Luke chapter 4. This is a famous one. I love this one. Perfect example of the Lord using right division. It's the method. Luke 4 verse 14. Now, everybody get the picture. Let's read the picture here. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Luke 4:14. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. So he was famous. Everybody knew him. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. So get the picture. Christ comes into Nazareth, goes in the synagogue, and he's going to stand up and read the scripture. That was the custom of how they did it then. They gave somebody the scripture to read. It'd be like me getting Heidi up here to read the scripture. You with me?
Yeah.
And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. Now it says Esaias in your book, but it's Isaiah in the text of the Greek. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight of the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. He closed the book. Now, to you or I, that doesn't seem like a very big deal. If you go back and look at Isaiah 61, where he's quoting from, a little bit different story. Let's read it. Turn with me to Isaiah 61. I want you to read the rest of what he would have had to read had he not been rightly dividing. Isaiah chapter 61. Somebody read verses 1 through 2 for me of Isaiah 61.
Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
Hold on. Right here's where he stopped.
Amen.
Look in your Bible. You see the rest of that verse? Read it, artist.
And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn.
Look at what he says. Let's read on.
To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
Amen. Thank you, Artis. Look at what happens here. When you get down to verse 19, Christ says to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and he sat down. He stopped in the middle of the sentence and he sat down. And listen to this. All the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Man, they were like, why did you stop? And look what he says. He began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He stopped because the day of the vengeance of the Lord was yet future. He was telling them, look, here's what's here now. And he stopped, and it blew their mind when he stopped. But he did that for a purpose, so that they could see that he was the one that was there. It was him that was preaching to the meek, and the time was now.
Amen.
He separated, rightly divided, correctly cut across the word right there. Perfect example. And there are others. My charge for the conference, and I'm done. Turn to Acts 17. Here's my charge for this conference. So for all these speakers that will be coming up here behind me, you'll hear things you'll agree with. You may hear some things you don't agree with. But here's my charge. Acts 17, I'm going to read 10 through 12. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these, look here, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. My charge to you tonight is to listen to what these speakers that are going to be here, and you've got some, I believe, that are the best in the world as far as what they know about the Scripture and their love for the Lord. You listen to what they say, and they will tell you themselves, take that Berean spirit, and you apply it, and you apply that method. You apply that method of right division, and the Scriptures will open themselves up to you, and you can be your own teacher. Which is what it's all about. Bow with me. Father, we thank you tonight for this word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the truth of it. And Father, for the faith that you have in us. And for the faith that you've blessed us with. We thank you so much. For each and every one that's come this way, Father, we pray that the things that were said and done tonight were said for the glorification, for the uplifting of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he and he alone would get the glory. Father, be with us in our fellowship and for the further part of the conference tomorrow. Bless all those that are to come and be with us in his name. For it's in his name tonight that we do humbly pray. Amen. And thank you much.
Thank you.